their neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. And we're recording right here, right now, at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 82, and this is May the 31st, 2004. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw and Don Patterson. Hi, guys.
Hey there. Recording on a holiday weekend, even.
Well, great, beautiful, kind of cloudy.
Nothing will stand in our way.
The vitalizing bypass.
Well, y'all keep talking while I check it.
Finalizer's in bypass. I'm betting you it's in bypass. See the bypass switch there?
I didn't think he could participate until he got introduced.
Oh,
what's that deal?
Well, the finalizer's in bypass. I have to. Is it? You see the switch there?
These technical.
No.
The finalizer is in bypass.
Lights on, it's in bypass. When the light's off, it's out of bypass, right?
We'll take it out of bypass.
It's out of bypass.
Okay, that's where we wanted it. It's out of bypass. Now you can introduce me.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show.
Philip Havard.
Hello. Mark Christie.
Mark Christie. Dirty, what a gas.
That'll be in a couple of years.
That'll be in a couple of years.
Well,
Mark Christie gets a show in a couple of years.
That's what I've heard.
Is that what happens?
That's what I've heard.
You can have it now, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, this is Memorial Day. We got two kids in the pool. My wife's in the pool. And Callie Tatum, my niece, is in the pool. Or her niece, our niece, is in the pool. And so, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, what a deal, man. Great weekend.
Ah, got a little glass of the vino here.
What, did my mic not sound exactly right, or what?
It wasn't sounding right. Nothing was sounding right. You were kind of waving off and on, and it was in bypass. I had been listening to some music. My niece brought me.
But I think the deal was it wasn't in bypass. You didn't turn
it. I don't believe it was. I turned it on and turned it back on.
Oh, you don't think it was?
I don't believe it was.
Wonder what the deal was then.
But I'm not sure. It may have been
me
rocking my head back and forth. It's all Phil's fault.
Everything else.
I mean, if he's the creator and producer, he has to fall on his back.
I don't mind. I don't care. But we took the dirt bikes to the country. We got two dirt bikes, and we got two boys in there, and they rode those dirt bikes. They got a little tired of that.
It's hot.
I mean, it's just hot.
It is. It really is.
It's finally got hot in Texas. It actually hasn't hit 90, but it just seemed, my heavens, you know, it just... I guess in other parts of the country it's probably hotter. And we heard from Kevin Doucet.
Hey,
yay, Kevin Doucet!
It's been a long time since we'd heard from the boy, but we heard from Kevin Doucet, and we're glad to know he's alive and well. I think he said he's moving to Talladega. Why would anyone move to Talladega?
Well, to watch the big race, the Talladega 500. That's the reason. Has to be.
It would be. Anyway, he said he was moving to Talladega, so we'll look forward to hearing from him. He said he hadn't done anything with his tools, but we're glad to get back in touch with him. Maybe he can get Patterson out of his MIDI funk. Anybody knows anything about MIDI instruments, give us a call. Don Patterson, just MIDI, is MIDI files.
That's right.
Anyway, what else is going on? Is that about it? Emails?
Let's see. Yeah, here's a guy that's inquiring about a temporary driveway extension. He says, is there any kind of material that can be laid on the lawn adjacent to the existing driveway and be used as a temporary extension to park additional cars such that the lawn is not totally destroyed where the car tries, or rather the car tires roll onto the grassy area? I say temporary. But we would have to need it for at least a few years.
I don't know what it would be.
Some of the kids get married off.
Kids get married off?
No, some of the kids get married off. Just waiting to avoid adding concrete if possible.
I never heard of it. Sure is. What would it be?
I remember this post, and he said, man, you got me.
Well, I mean, I could tell him how to do it. There's no way that he could spare his lawn, but if he wanted a temporary... It would be as expensive as almost pouring concrete, but you could use these 12 by 12 blocks. you know, and just lay them down. I mean, where you wouldn't have to get the concrete trucks. This is something you could do yourself. I don't know how many cars he's trying to park, but I mean, then when you remove the blocks and like if you, they cost about $1 something a piece, don't they, Don?
Yeah, they do.
Give or take. And so if, what are you, a car about 10 by 20, park a car,
they
10
take
by,
a bunch.
You could do that. And then when you take the blocks up in a couple of years, sell them and probably get half your money back. But the, and your grass would grow.
You know, if you really wanted to, you looks like you could just lay like the width of a car. Like, did you ever see one of those driveways that grass was growing down the middle? It just had a long concrete ribbon on each side.
Trip on each side, yeah, for the tires.
So you could just lay some of those where your tires would roll on them, and grass would grow up between them and all around them. But
and then when you removed them, just stack them up and sell. I mean, that would be mine.
And your grass would, you'd assume that the grass would grow in the places where they were.
It will grow.
You would think so.
Oh, grass will grow. How's your grass doing that you all that you put out? Have you mowed it yet?
Well, I mowed it yesterday. Unfortunately, I had my setting on my mower about a half inch too low.
Scalped.
I scalped a couple of places also because I'm on a slight incline. And so I corrected it to, when I mowed the other portion. I went from 2.5 inch setting to 3 inches, but I neglected to put up the anti-scalp wheels one notch where they belonged at the 3 inch setting. And so I did a little bit, but actually the 3 inch setting with the scalper wheels, anti-scalping wheels in place is going to be the perfect setting, and it's really going to look nice. It didn't do too bad, but I got it in a couple of
the
places.
The anti-scalping wheels.
Yeah, on the belly mower, on the
I
deck.
Miss those.
Okay. Well, you have two little plastic or hard plastic wheels on the bottom of your mower deck on each corner. And then there's four, two in front and two in the back.
Uh-huh.
The two in front, and then the mower is on a hydraulic lift, like when you go up or down. So when you lower it to its mowing position, The two in the front are the only adjustables. The back wheels on the mower deck are stationary. I mean, you can't adjust them, but the ones in front you can. And like it for each setting from 0 inches to 4 inches has an alphabetical setting A, B, C, D. A being the, like if you're in the 4 inch setting, A is where you would put the notch that you would raise the little wheel, and so then it keeps the deck from just going. The deck can only go so far, and so if you want a 3 inch cut, you set the two anti-scalping wheels in the C position, and then it will not allow the deck to go lower. So.
Or if you're going along and you hit like a high spot in the ground,
spot,
I guess the wheel would hit the ground,
right.
And raise the deck, and it would have some play in it, which I could see would be real useful.
Yeah.
Well, so actually, you have to sort of go through, have a calculator there when you mow your lawn.
Well, no,
to kind of
figure out. But the first time I suggested, I think we ought to kind of cut it kind of long, leave it kind of long. Of course, the warden overruled me, and so she thought she might want it a little short, and then of course, then she went on scurried off to take her nap. And she did when she showed back up, she realized that she didn't want it quite that short. But it's going to work out fine now.
So, but you cut it, and you can't tell where the squares join together anymore.
No.
It's all just one massive,
all joined together.
Smooth lawn.
And I have periodically been filling in between some, like I had some low spots, and so actually, it's strange the way the sun rises in the mornings. I can go out. That's the best time for me to fill in low spots because the way the sun comes, the light, I can see them.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been putting dirt and sand, and then the grass has overtaken that already. So really, it's looking really good.
In fact, your yard has become kind of a full-time thing for you, hasn't
it? It's where I've been the last month.
They say that every morning you're out there in the yard working.
Yeah, who's that?
Your wife when she brought the kids swimming the other day, and you didn't come. Where's Don? Oh, he's tired. He's been
out
working
in the yard.
Yard work.
You know?
Yard work.
You get married.
Because I remember her saying, now, we don't want this yard to consume us. We don't want to be tied down to this yard. Well, she didn't want to be tied down to the yard.
But you, for you, it's been pretty much full-time.
Yeah, I've actually enjoyed it.
Yard man Don.
Been some good... you know, and I've gotten to buy some really neat equipment. So.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
He's getting the excuse to buy.
I bought this neat fertilizer spreader thing.
Oh, you got one of those?
Yeah,
that's good to know.
Well, I was in Lowe's, and as we saw it sitting there, and I mean, we had looked at it a week prior, and so we were back and then couldn't find it. And then Emily said, well, there it is out in the middle of the, you know, there it is. And so we walked up and the sign on it said $149. And I was kind of looking at it because I'd looked at Sears for $200 and something. And a guy in the little Lowe's red vest came up and he said, are you interested in this? And I said, well, yeah. I said, I see you've marked it down to $120. He said, how about $80? And
whoa.
I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah. I said, I'll take it. So.
No kidding.
And I said, how come? What's the matter? He said, well, it's just a floor model, and we're closing them out. And so I walked away with it for 80 big ones.
Man.
Well, actually, what the deal was is they'd probably fertilize their yards with it.
No, it's not been used.
Wouldn't you imagine it?
And it's an aerator.
In fact, deep down in it, I could see little places.
Yeah.
You could actually see little chunks of fertilizer.
Part of the pony, hair.
That they'd use,
okay.
You know. $80, huh?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a deal. I'd buy anything for $80.
Yeah, well, too. I mean, especially, you know, we just happened to walk up there and the guy was interested in that. Well, yeah, it could be.
What a deal.
I'll try that. All right, Tommy.
Okay. Here's a guy looking for a good foot switch. He says, does anyone know if DigiKey or someone carries a good foot switch, simply or simple on-off?
Yeah.
I simply cannot find one locally, and his name is Charles.
Well, we got into this. If you have an old foot switch that, in other words, you have the base, but the switch doesn't work, take the switch out and take it to Radio Shack and replace the switch. Of course, you might have to get somebody to solder for you, but you can find surely somebody that will solder you a switch in there. I wrote the story on the list. I bought a set of bass pedals. I was playing music by myself. I decided I wanted to play bass pedals. Everybody else did, or two or three other people did. I mean, what the hell? I can do that. Play bass pedals with my feet and play guitar and have my drum machine. But I had a switch that I started and stopped my drum machine, and also had a little switch on that you could push and it would make a little roll, whatever they call it. There's a name for it. Anyway, there was no longer room in front of me or on the floor for my drummer switch, so I drilled two holes in the bass pedals and put two little switches in the bass pedals themselves. And put a stereo jack coming out, a cord running to my drummer, and bingo, away we go. So foot switch, I don't understand, you know, paying lots of money for foot switches. They're cheap. Go ahead, Pat. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I mean, I have two or three, but they're all in pedals. Like I have a set of four pedals that you can program, and one is the on-off, a simple, I had a... I used Vox. Don, do you remember when on my ham radio, you know, and I had the Shure mic hooked up to a foot switch that you could click on and off with your foot, and I still have that switch, but it's like 30 years old. But I guess you could just say it ought to be a cheap, just a little micro. I mean, just
you
a
would
little
think
on-off.
So. A micro.
I just go to a music store and go to a music store and see if they got a, you know. Well, he said a good foot switch. What's a bad one? You know, if it turns something off and on, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I say, this ought to be something. If you have, like you said, the little button and all the houses, a good electrician friend could.
These were momentaries, and you just you know, the touch the wires together, and it would, you know, the relay would close, and the drummer would start, and then touch them together again, the relay would open. It's a momentary off, or momentary close, or momentary, and then they make them where you push them once, and they'll stay on. You push them again, and they're off. I had a turntable. The turntable we started, remember, in the control room?
Oh, yeah.
That had a switch like that. You push it, and it locked the 110 in. Of course, I brought, and we've been all through this, and I brought 24 volts up, I think a 24-volt relay up there, and started it and stopped it with just a little Radio Shack switch. They're cheap. Go to Radio Shack.
I guess they still sell them. Go ahead.
Good answer.
Thank you, Phil.
Here's one which I do hope someone can answer. For the last couple of 3 weeks, I have not been receiving any mail from the blind handyman list. I did not change anything here. No address change. No block set up or anything like that. The mail just stopped arriving about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And then this morning I received a message from yahoogroups.com. It informed me that there was mail there from this list waiting for me. They informed me that if I simply replied to their message, then my mail from this list would be sent on. And it was. Now,
what?
If they had the correct address, then that would seem to indicate that my address in their files, and I suppose in the files of this list, would then and still is correct. I even tried to send a message to this list about a week or so ago. I definitely had the correct address, and I've checked it again this evening against the one on this message,
all right.
And they're both identical. Now, the message I sent to blindhandyman@yahoogroups.com was returned to me. I can't remember the exact wording, but it did inform me that there was no list by that name. Okay, each of you, I'm sure, will have your own ideas, but I assure you that I have not taken leave of my senses, nor have I changed anything, nor do I think I'm going around the bend. Has anyone else experienced this blackout or have any idea what happened? Thanks in advance, Gordon Mitchell.
Well, yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. It's called bouncing messages. And what happens is when you belong to a group, whether it be Blind Handyman or any other Yahoo or group for that matter, but especially on Yahoo, I've noticed that a lot of times if your email box gets really full, would be one reason. If you're gone on a vacation or for whatever reason you don't check your mail for a while, the messages will come back to Yahoo, bounce back saying that your email box is full, that it can't accept any more messages, and Yahoo will put you on a bouncing message status.
And it wouldn't take, it would only take one.
Yeah, it'll only take one to put you on that status. And once you get in bouncing messages, Yahoo is supposed to, or the moderator of the list can manually send you a bouncing message notice from Yahoo. And when you reply to that, you'll be back on the list again.
So he needs, and then you're off of the bouncing status?
You're off of the bouncing status at that point.
I assume here then our listener needs to send that message.
So apparently Yahoo sent him that message, and they will automatically ever so often. You just may have to wait 2 or 3 weeks for him to send it, but eventually Yahoo will automatically send that
notice. Okay, how about
he should have responded back? Was that been
something? And he probably did. That's probably why he's back on the list now, because he responded back to it.
But then he said he couldn't send.
Said he couldn't send any. What if he unsubscribes?
Okay, you can send a reply back to Yahoo, just not to the list, because when you're in that mode, that bouncing message mode, it's like you're not a member of the list. You can't send anything to or receive anything from the list.
So he's still in bouncing status, right?
I'm not sure. I think he said that he had replied to it and got back on the list.
I believe so. I read a few of them after that.
Boy, Don Shaw, but I'm impressed.
It's just
you helped him out that quick, huh?
Quirk of Yahoo. So
Yahoo.
Boop had a good response to that too.
What was
I read?
Boop has always got a
thing,
good response.
The same thing that Don Shaw just said.
Well, she's kind of a moderator. I mean, she's helping us as a moderator on our
list. She is on the Blind Like Me list.
And we're happy to have her. Do I hear me?
Yeah.
I do, don't I?
Yes, you do.
All right, let's go to our guest. And our guest today is
Bob Kroger.
Bob Kroger. We had him before?
Yeah, he's from Florida. He's the man, they're the folks building the workshop.
Oh, yeah,
the big
man.
Munchin workshop.
A year or so ago, we had Bob Kroger on. We'll have him back in just a minute. And we'll be back with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Now, the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me can be heard at new times, in new places, on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do. So we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs. So we formed this, started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Out of reach from faxes and the telephone. I get happy when a dolphin joins.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
As we said a while ago, we had this gentleman on a year or so ago. It's hard to keep up with time, especially when you get as old as we are. Bob Kroger, how are you, sir?
Oh, Bob, I need to turn your pot up here.
Hi, Bob.
Knob up.
How you doing?
Doing good, and you?
Well, real good.
It's how long has it been? Has it been a year since we talked to you? I think.
Well, I guess it's probably been a little less than a year. I'm not really sure.
But you're in you were in Florida then, and you still are, right?
Oh, you betcha.
And you're not leaving anytime soon.
No. It's beautiful today. It's about 85 and nice breeze.
Oh man, that's great.
Now, last time we talked with you, you had undertaken what we considered a massive project. Tell us about that.
Well, we have been trying to put together a program for a carpentry school for the blind as far as cabinetry, and we needed a big building.
Uh-huh.
And we searched out, and we were hoping that the government would help us and a few other people, and we'd get our building up.
But
we finally did get the building. It's about 15,000 square feet building. It's actually 10,000 with 5,000 on the second floor.
Wow.
And we got it ordered, and we have went ahead, and we've got the building up. It's complete. Where we're running into problems now is we're doing our partition walls and stuff, but the government was going to help us out a little bit, the state of Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the budget was awful tight this year, so we didn't get any funding.
Uh-huh.
And we need about, maybe $80,000 to finish our project, and we're still going ahead with it. We had three fundraisers already this year, and we hope to get all the rough electrical, plumbing, and that type of thing done in the very, very, very near future.
Now, when we're talking about getting it done, what you mean is getting the money to do it yourself, right?
Well, basically, yeah, we have to have some help on the electrical and plumbing. You have to have a plumbing and electrical license.
Yeah,
we'll probably run most of the wiring and stuff for them to keep the cost down. And of course, we're looking for used equipment and that sort of thing. That should help us some too.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so far 90% of what's been done has been done by the blind.
Now, you bought some kind of a prefab thing, right, that you actually put together.
Yeah, what it is, it's a it's called Galvalume. Uh-huh. It comes from Steelmaster, and it looks like a Quonset hut with about 8-foot sidewalls, straight sidewalls.
Uh-huh.
Which makes it real nice, and this darn thing is, it's huge. It really is. It's a big building. It stands about 22 foot tall. And we've got everything done. We had over, about $250,000 bolts and nuts we had to put into that thing.
That's what I was thinking. You told us last time. Okay, and that's,
it was endless. I didn't think it was ever going to get done.
But and the article I think that we saw was you, and you're totally blind. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It was you and the day I think the day that they came out and took pictures, there wasn't really anybody there except you two, was there? Kind of.
Yeah, hoisting. And that's basically all we've really had. I try to get the blind people to come out, and of course, it's not too difficult to get them 1 or 2 days, but trying to get them 5 days a week is quite difficult. We're in a real rural area, and they just don't want to stay too busy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've met my share of blind people. In fact, I got 3 or 4 of them in the room with me. No, only kidding.
Well, some of them are pretty eager beavers, but yeah. You know, our community here, we're in Citrus County, and we have the largest population of people over the age of 65 in the state of Florida.
Really?
So that tells you we got a lot of older people here.
Uh-huh.
And we've got a lot of good ones. I don't want you to misunderstand that they just kind of retire and do nothing, because I've got people that are 87, 88 years old that are coming down to our shop and helping us out.
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is.
But you've got this building where it keeps the rain and sun off of you. You've got
it
that
far. Oh, yes, sir. It's, we had 18 skylights we had to put in, and they tell me that the inside of that building in the daytime is as bright as if you had lights all over the place.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it's up. All you're trying to put in dividing partition walls, or you can cordon off some offices and some different workrooms and things like that.
Yeah, we've got basically all the partition walls are done now, and now what we've got to do is we've got to start the ceiling joists, and that's been all done, by the way, by blind people. We haven't had anybody sighted working in there at all. And we're putting in a couple windows that were donated. Those are something that's came on later, but boy, they're beautiful windows, so we're going to put them in.
Sure.
What's your square footage, Bob?
15,000 square feet.
How much air conditioning are we talking about here?
Zero.
I mean, at some point or never?
Well, you know, I'm not going to be around forever, so somebody might change it. But I believe that with that Galvalume building, it's about 15 degrees cooler inside of it than it is on the outside in the summertime.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm not too worried about, air conditioning. I am worried about heat a little bit, though.
Right.
Of course, needless to say, here in Texas, we've got that air conditioner pumping down full blast on us now. It's cooling us off because it's not 15 degrees cooler in here, I'll tell you that.
But y'all you're in northern Florida?
Well, I'm in central.
Central, okay.
Yeah.
What's your winter time average lows there? What are you?
Well, they tell us that it's around 72 degrees in the daytime.
Yeah.
But I've seen it like last winter. We had what I consider a cold winter. We had probably about 60 days under 60, and that's cold.
Well, you'll
we put a fire in the fireplace when it's 70.
That's cold, but a good wood stove will do a lot toward heating that building if you had a couple, three good, big old good wood stoves. Now, your plan in the future is to have blind people come there and stay in residence and learn, or what?
Yeah, we're going to try to bring people in from all over the country. We're going to teach them all the alternative techniques of cabinetry, and what we're hoping is that they'll become independent contractors, which is a biggie, because the blind people, it's hard, especially if you're not in the city. If you've got a garage or something, you could work in your garage, and we're going to teach them how to order stuff and everything else. So they'll be able to, build cabinetry, and we've also got some suppliers that we should be able to help them with, like Habitat for Humanity, for example.
Uh-huh. In other words, what you said that you wanted to do was get maybe the contract to build their cabinets, the Habitat for Humanity. Didn't you talk about that?
Yeah.
Because somebody has to build them.
That's right.
And it looks like blind people would be a natural if they can. They can do it, and you want to do that there at your place in Florida, right?
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're going to be doing.
But you'd like to export some. In other words, you'd like to bring a guy down, keep him 3 months, teach him how to build cabinets, and send him home to Olathe, Kansas to open up a little shop, right?
Yeah, and what we're hoping is that what's going to happen is as soon as we get the building finished, and like I said, we need about $80,000 more to get it done, and that's basically the parking lot. That's the biggie. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, once we get that building complete, I'm going to need some teachers. And what I'm hoping to do is get people that were in the cabinetry business prior to being blind and come on down and learn what we were teaching, and then have them become instructors, and they'd get paid just like everybody else would. And that's what we're hoping. And then the apprentice, of course, they work for nothing. All they're doing is learning a trade, and once they've learned it, they can either go back home or maybe they'll be able to teach or something like that.
Well, have you got tools in the building yet? Have you got woodwork, saws and things of that, lathes and those kind of things yet?
We don't have it in the big building. I do have it in the small building. We've got about $60,000 worth of equipment, so we've got plenty of equipment, and it's just a matter of getting into that building and taking off. But the problem we've got there, the state of Florida is very difficult when it comes to codes and that sort of thing. And when they say it's complete, then you can move in. Right now, yeah, we've got saws and stuff in there, but it's basically to do the partition walls and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so they haven't given you the go-ahead to move in. So
no, sir.
Do we have a problem there?
I don't think there's going to be a problem, but they're saying, well, you've got to pay your impact fee, you've got to have your paving all done, and that type of thing. So,
well, and your plumbing and electrical also.
Yeah, and we just had a fundraiser. It was a canoe-a-thon that we did, and we raised about $7,500. And we should be able to complete the rough plumbing and electrical and put our septic tank and our water into the building.
So you got to have a septic system.
Yeah, we're out in the country.
Yeah, all right. Well,
and so if you could have anything you wanted, you know, what would make you happy right now, Bob?
Well, if I could get the $80,000, we'd be able to complete it. Yeah.
So if you had an address, where could somebody send you a buck?
Yeah, I would love it.
Well, I mean, where could they send you a buck?
Well, you could send it. We've got. I'll give you our email first. It's blindamericans@naturecoast.net.
blindamericans@naturecoast.net.
Yes, sir.
That's an interesting address.
So maybe we got 1,000 blind people out there who want to send $8 or something, yeah?
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. What a deal.
Then what I'd like to do is get those 1,000 people to come down there and see what's happened.
Yeah.
But it is. It's coming along great, and it's just a matter of getting it done. Our address is Blind Americans 6055 North Carl, like a man's name, G, period, as in good, Rose, R-O-S-E, and that's Hernando, Florida. The zip is 34442.
Now, but if they didn't get that, the email address, you can send them where they'll have a physical record of it in their computer, of your street address.
Yeah, if they use our email, they'll be able to get everything.
Well, that's a lot easier to remember. Shoot that by us one more time.
Yeah, email. blindamericans@naturecoast.net.
blindamericans@naturecoast.net, and you can get the address in there. Yeah, if 10,000 of us sent you $10, we'd have it, wouldn't we? 1,000 of us.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be happy campers.
Well, you seem as committed today as you were a year ago. I thought this guy will get along with this. He'll get tired of fooling with this, but you didn't, did you?
No, we've been trying to develop this program for about 14 years, and I've been there since the beginning, and I've got some great people that are working with us, and boy, you can't ask for any more. It's just,
and you're much closer now than you've ever been.
Oh yes, sir. Yeah. The building is standing. It's gorgeous. It really is.
Yeah. So you go home every night and then come back every morning.
Yes, sir. I live about 5 miles from the project.
Yeah. How do you get back and forth?
Well, we have a county bus that picks us up and brings us back home. So it's not too bad.
Yeah. Go ahead. What?
No, when we talked to you last time, I think you had gotten the slab down and pretty much some beams around the outside, maybe for the outside walls, and that was about it. Really.
Yeah, all we had, when I talked to you the last time, we had just started putting the beam up that goes down through the center, and we did have the slab done.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the building now, it's lockable, it's complete. It looks like it's finished, except right now we're tearing out a little bit in the front to put some new windows in, but those were just something that was donated to us, so we're putting them in. But it really does. It really looks great. And the biggest problem we've got, again, is the paving, because it's a big one, and You know, the gall darn people today, they keep telling us there's new inflation, but boy, I'll tell you, costs are just climbing like the dickens.
You mean on materials and on what?
Yeah, on the materials for the site work. Yeah. We need a lot of fill brought in, a lot of lime rock, paving.
I guarantee you the materials. I started looking just here on a local level, just something I can relate to, with this the fuel increases here, and they're passing it on to the consumer. But I was pricing 4x4 fence posts for $5, give or take, five and change, treated. They're seven. They're almost $8 now.
Oh yeah.
The same post, 16-foot long treated two by four, almost $8 at Lowe's.
It's going up. Everything is going skyrocketing. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, this is a lot due to fuel costs.
Yeah.
And if we don't get those Arabs under control or get less dependent on oil, it's just going to be this way.
Well, that's right. We need to change it.
That's the way. I saw this cartoon this week is Bush mumbling to himself, I don't know why I'm really worried about Iraq. It's going to be Kerry's problem anyway.
Yeah.
All right, that's my joke for today. Well, I don't know what else we could do unless we came down there and helped. None of us are very good at pouring asphalt.
Come on down, he said.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Unfortunately, they need me here.
What a deal.
We really do.
Well, we'd love to have you come. And, you know, we get done, I'd love to have you come down and take a look at it, because it's really going to be spectacular.
The thing to do is come down, and we all need to, it would be nice if we could come down and do a couple of shows from down there. It would be really
nice. There you go.
Wouldn't it?
They bring the whole crew. I don't know how we do that. There's lots of us.
Houston's got a big van out there.
Houston, well, he does have a big van.
He does.
There you go.
It's a long way to Florida. I wonder if we can make it in a day. You can make it to Florida from Texas in a day, can't you?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you can make it to the...
Because we're in Central Florida, and we're on the West Coast, so...
Oh, you are?
Yes.
So we could probably do that.
We're almost directly across from Daytona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Daytona's on the east,
yeah,
we're on the west.
I knew that. So just get on that highway. It's probably a highway that comes right down the west coast of Florida.
You betcha.
Well, we're not going to do that tomorrow, but maybe someday we will. I don't know what else we could do for you, so I guess we'll go at this time and hope that you receive some funds and donations, and we'll check back with you in another year or so and see. I want to hear some saws and cabinet work going on in a year. Next time we call, Bob.
Boy, that'd be terrific.
Very good. Sounds like you're committed, and we appreciate you, and we'll talk with you in a day or two.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, back with more. Back with more of our exciting little show in just a minute. Hang on.
Now, the blind handyman and blind like me can be heard at new times in new places on streaming audio at the For the People website. From Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service. From the In Touch Radio Reading Service and on radio reading services all across the nation. And, of course, at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, it's we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Yay, Don Shaw!
Man, man, what a deal. Now, doesn't... does not Bob Kroger have a large undertaking there? Man, what a deal.
He does. Sounds like he's... damn near close to
but
being
you,
through.
It does, doesn't it?
You see these advertising on TV, these advertisements on TV all the time. Increase the size of your church.
Call the general.
By 30,000 feet. You know, call the general. That's the kind of building he's got, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That you that yeah. you that has all the everything, and you just you bolt everything together, or nut and bolt everything together, right?
Probably.
I assume. Except yeah. I think the general will come and do it for you.
He will. You know, but they still had to put up some corner posts, and they had had to screw those massive corner beams down to the slab some way or another.
A quarter of a mil bolts or something.
Quarter
yeah,
quarter of a million bolts. God, just... I wonder how many craftsman sockets they wore.
Man, I don't know.
Cranking away on those. Because you know, surely they had sense enough to get some kind of a nice drill and put a hex thing on the end of it.
Well, I admire his grit. I tell you, his tenacity, sticking to it. My goodness.
Man, he wants this. He wants to do this. He wants to do cabinet makers. But I think he has visions of getting, and maybe has been promised by a Habitat for Humanity. And they're the people that build houses for indigent folks
to build their cabinets.
Yeah.
Oh, I think there's several opportunities. You know, there's a lot of church groups that work not necessarily associated with Habitat for Humanity, like our First Methodist Church here. Just recently, people down in, I think they built like 8 or 10 small homes in Mexico.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, the homes, it's going to have some cabinets. So, I mean, he's got every opportunity to find some potential people.
I'd like to. The only thing I understand, I couldn't build a set of cabinets if my life depended on it. I've always thought I probably, you know, I understand cabinets because every, you know, I've looked at them and I know how they're built. I know, you know, basically how they build a drawer. I know how they put the bottom in it. I know how they, you know, I've looked at all that. But I wonder if he's going to be able to teach a blind person to make raised panel doors. Have you ever looked at a raised panel door? I mean, a complicated thing to do. It's going to be a tough...
But, you know, now anymore you can buy the raised panel part. Our cabinet doors in our house are raised panel doors.
Yeah.
But they were... The center part was purchased, and then they put trim... They put the flat part around that.
It's called the cope and stick.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that would be a deal.
The cope and stick, and you can't just put it around there, tack it around there like you would lip mold around a piece of plywood. You got to fit it. You have to cut a slot and fit it. It's a mortar and tennis and mortise and tenon joint.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Mortise and tenon joint.
But I believe, you know, if you had one, I think if you had the proper guides, you know, if I were going to try to teach a blind person something involving wood, it would be cabinets because they're standard. You know, the measure, I mean, if you can build a cabinet in Texas, you can build a cabinet in Florida.
So
if you ever got all of your little jigs, if you were so inclined, you know, first of all, you'd obviously have to like working for yourself, and you'd have to like woodworking. And so, but let's assume you did, and you were young and ambitious.
And wanted to do it.
And you, if you, after you ever got all of your jigs and stuff set up, I could see how it could be.
And you could build raised panel doors.
Yeah, I guess you could buy the tools for mortise and
joints.
Sure you could. Well, if you got a router table, I've got a router thing.
Yeah, a router table.
That you can move the fence back, and you can move this piece of wood along the router table, and it'll cut just a slot in the wood, which would be the you know, one of the two, the mortise or the tenon, which is which. I don't remember which. Dale knows. But anyway, I guess it could be. Now, I've always thought that a blind person if you try to figure out what a blind person could do easiest of carpentry work, I always thought a blind person could probably frame pretty easy. What is there to framing? Huh?
Well, it would just be if he wanted to do it on his own, you know, but to try to get in the production in a job. It would take a gutsy move. Now, you know, years and years and years ago, and a wife or so ago, I worked as a trim carpenter's helper, I guess you would say. In other words, I didn't ever use the saw, but I did a lot of nailing. I mean, we could trim a
hand
house.
Hand nailing, huh?
Yeah, hand nailing,
This was for your uncle, where your uncle said you made a mistake. We'll just use wider trim.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was a brother-in-law.
But
he was patient, and see, he was a rare breed that you would find. They're framing a house across the street from me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound, you know, sexist or anything, but I was telling Emily, I said, you know, I think that guy's got a woman working for him. I hear a woman's voice sometimes. And he has a lady that operates the saw. She does all of the cutting. And I don't know who she, you know, if it's his wife or girlfriend or just a person that hired out with this framing crew. And you can hear them calling measurements. To this, I mean, you know, they're way up high, 20 feet in the air, and they call down, but it's a female. So if you had a large deal and a blind guy was set up, and I don't know why he couldn't do, you know, except on the job site, the terrain is so...
That's true.
Yeah, the terrain
is just the navigation problem, you know. There's nobody there to say, watch out for that board.
Well, yeah, but when I was young, that didn't bother me. I mean, when I was 20 years old falling overboard, I just go right on by. Oh, I knew it was there. Hell, the hell with it. I knew it was there. Go on.
I think it could be, you know, if you had this is a kind of a unique crew. I've kind of been watching them, and everybody seems to have their job. And I just know that there's this female person that I'm sure she does other things, but she's mostly doing the table saw.
Well, and there's always somebody on the table saw.
Right.
Robert was telling me, you know, somebody needs to be on the table saw because you don't want to run down the ladder and cut a board every time you need
she
one.
Seems
yeah,
to
you
be
would need
quite
somebody
good,
cut
and because I have noticed sometimes they'll throw a board back. You know, they'll say, take a half inch off, you know. But
if I had known at age 20 what I know now about carpentry and building, I would have bought a lot and built myself a house by hand. I'd have just done it. I had the nerve. I had the strength. I've got the knowledge now. I'm too damn old to do anything.
See,
I can't hardly walk to the house now. When I was 20 years old and had my strength, I'd have hand-built myself a house, Mr. Blind
Guy. Even though I'm older, you can kind of see why I kind of want to build my
I understand exactly why you want to build it.
Thing.
I'm going to come help you.
Okay, good.
For about 15 minutes, and then I'm going to get a beer and sit down. I want to look at it. I've given it a lot of thought since you said it. Are you going to go up to the... Let's tell them what you're going to do. Tell him the deal. Let me tell it.
Yeah.
All right. Don has a garage, a tall garage. This garage is probably 18 feet tall. The gable faces the door. In other words, when you walk up to it, you're facing the gable. You're right under the middle of the gable.
Right.
It's the one with the cupola on it.
Right.
On top of it. On the back of it, he's poured a slab that is as wide as the garage, which is 24 feet. And this slab is 20 feet long. He wants to cover this, and he's going to cover it with a roof. All right. So the gable is facing the slab, right?
Right.
So it looks like... pretty simple kind of a thing to do. First, you know, are you going to go up as high as the real roof or come down some?
I'm looking at it and trying to figure out how to tie it in and make it look normal if I didn't go up that high. But actually, I would like to go up that high.
Why not go up that
high? Probably what really needs to be done.
Why not go up that high? So all you got to do
is... climb that ladder. Get Shawboy. Get the Shawboy.
Don't call me.
The first thing you have to do is you're right under the, you know, you got the shingles that kind of stick out over the edge.
Right.
You got to figure out what you're going to do. You're going to come out a little past them with a couple of 2x4s. on the end of your gable, right?
Well, 1 2x4, and then you can see where their plywood or their decking, I'm not sure what they use, ties in. You may have to take off a piece of flashing.
Probably will.
Yeah, to tie it in right. Now, paying a roofer. You know,
to start it?
To finish the roof, the shingles.
To do the shingle work.
I might build the framework, but I may engage.
You're not going to deck it?
I'll deck it.
Frame it, deck it, but and pay
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're going to tell me that you're going to walk up the ladder with a piece of 4x8 quarter-inch plywood?
Yeah.
Let's discuss that.
Well, I've done it. I've built
it. Well, I know you've done it 20 years ago. You're 60 years old, big boy.
Well, I'm going to look it over. Let's say that. But it's high. I mean,
I couldn't carry a piece of quarter-inch plywood from here to my car if I had to.
Well, then we'd probably need to use half-inch plywood.
That's what I'd use. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Hell, why not use three-quarter then?
And a three-quarter-inch piece of plywood
is a heavy,
heavy thing.
Oh,
you don't want to
mess
with
it.
And you're going to lug that sucker up the ladder, lay it up there, and start nailing it.
But
you're
going
to nail by hand?
Yeah.
You're going to have an air compressor, son.
Yeah, I'll probably nail by hand. But actually, I've thought about if I can get my bottom framework, like my 4x4 posts with something on top of them, the straight...
With a plate on top.
Then I've thought about building my rafters and some of the support on the ground and setting them up there. In other words, build a whole...
Well, the first thing that'll have to be done... I mean, after you get a frame built, somebody will have to put a ridge pole.
Down the middle.
Yeah, down the middle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I built my joist and rafters all in one unit, like a truss.
With a ridge pole in it?
No, and then you set the rafter at space them, and then you put a half, you just cut the board to fit in between those. You don't have to lift this whole big beam across the center. You build the...
Well, yeah,
I can't even think that you span the whole thing, you know, down, if I build them down on the ground, and then truss is what they call them.
And then take it up?
And then to put it up, yeah, and, you know.
I think he's wrong, because it's going to be real heavy.
It's going to be pretty heavy.
That's going to be heavy. Yeah, how are you going to get it up there? You and Emily.
I'd get a hoist.
All right, Emily, you get this end.
I'd get a lift. See, that'd give me a chance to buy a winch. I'm wanting a winch.
Drag line, man.
I'm wanting a big gin pole and a winch anyway.
That'd give you a chance to buy one,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Always plan ahead.
I'm sure glad I'm not 20, so I don't have to build a house, but I think I would if I, knowing what I know now, I'd have to try it, see if I could.
If Bob Kroger
can do it,
can build a 15,000 square foot building Florida,
man.
By golly, it looks like I ought to be able to handle a little 500 foot square.
Yeah, when you think about it like that. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but he's just bolting stuff together. Come on, you know, you could have done this. You could do that.
Well, you can buy kits.
But then you could build metal.
You can build kits and metal. There's a little carport place
metal beams,
94
man.
Here that sells some really neat looking.
So why couldn't you use metal beams and use plywood decking on top of that?
Well, I've thought about that. Have thought about it.
Because you can. We always hear this place advertised on the local television station here where you can buy your pre-cut metal. And have it pre-cut like you want it and drilled and bring it back, bolt it together, and
that's
put
right.
Some
if you
on.
Had scaffolding built in the middle, you know, I've cut six rafters. I'm going to carry them up there one at a time. I've got scaffolding in the center that I step up on. I can stand on this scaffolding and toenail them into the ridge pole, and then I'll come down and tack them to the plate, and bingo.
We may be fixing to get a little rain. Yes, it is.
I guess it is. Well, if we're going to talk about swimming pools, how much time we got left?
About 3 minutes.
It's not worth talking about today.
We could talk just a second. What are we going to talk about swimming pools? Let me tell my motor story. All right. I bought a. We put this swimming pool in 91. They got it in about July of 91. So we put, a new pump and a motor and everything. That motor ran, and I said 94 the other day. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt and say it ran 91, 2, 3, 4, and part of 95. So in 95, I put in a new motor. I remember this because I went and had the old motor rebuilt, and it didn't work right. So he ended up buying me a new motor. I can't remember if it was $110 or $96. Anyway, he bought me a motor. I bolted it on. fastened it, put the impeller on, done it, and started it up. This was in 1995. This motor has run. This summer will be the ninth summer this motor has run. Now, what makes, what makes, how long have you gotten out of Norris Street motors? About 5 years, about all you get out of one, right?
Yes, before this motor, yeah. Now, I'm on the second one that we've had since we've been over there. And, you know, of course, who knows on this one. But, yeah, about 4 or 5 years on the first one.
Yeah, so there was a...
But you've only put in one, right?
One,
on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You, there was a motor there when you got there, and you changed it once.
Changed it one time. Well, we're on the second one.
I've changed it. Everyone that's ever been changed over there has either been changed by you or me. I changed it 3 or 4 times when I was there, and I was there 13 years. And you get about 4 to 5 years out of a motor. I've gotten 9 years out of this motor. What's the difference?
I don't know. That's just
amazing. I mean, it's just, as far as I know, the same motor that I've always put on. It looked exactly like the rest of them.
And this one's still running fine, is it?
Yeah, I just tied the 220 on it, put the little cap back on, fired it up, and it's still running perfectly. I talked to it yesterday and said, don't quit now, baby, because it's too hot to change you. Well, it's too hot to change it now.
Our motor, in fact, went out 2 years ago on this weekend, this very weekend.
Memorial Day.
Like on a Saturday. Yeah. And, man, it sounded, I mean, usually, you know, a swimming pool motor is a quiet thing. But, I mean, when the bearings started going out on this motor, man, it sounded like a lawnmower motor. It was
loud. When they start going, it's loud.
It was bad.
You could kind of float around. You could. The one thing about Don's pool, you can tell the direction where you are because the motor's right there. I mean, you can, you know, mine is way around the side of the house. All right, we've blown another one, hadn't we? Done another little old.
About finished up another one.
Show
wrapped
number
it up.
82. It's amazing.
82. What
right. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? Well, we got two more to do. We'll do them next week, and we'll do a cooking show on the 14th, and we'll be on vacation. How about that?
Fantastic.
All right. Yeah. Then.
Marvelous.
Dale's cooking show. Thank you,
speaking
Tom.
Of vacation.
Speaking of what?
You're certainly welcome.
Thank you, sir. Speaking of vacation, what?
Our cooking in the dark guy, Dale Campbell, is on vacation as we speak.
He's in the Cayman Islands.
Right now,
In the Cayman Islands.
Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands.
Yeah. Kicking up his heels down there in
drinking
the tropics.
That margarita.
Tropical.
Drinking those, I think something like a Bahama
Fantastic.
Mama or something.
Yeah. Eating conch, eating conch fritters.
Yeah, conch fritters and saying fantastic.
Marvelous.
Don Patterson, Don Shaw, thank you guys. Appreciate
Love
it.
Yeah.
I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you next week. Until then, I see, said the blind man, he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.